And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Laura Houston. Well, as always, whenever I have somebody in the studio, it's always a joy. But to have Tracy back, Tracy McBurney, is always fun. And we always love having... Oh, I know. She's just dying to say something. Well, welcome back, Tracy.
I pay her to say this.
Oh, very funny.
Checks in the mail.
Okay. We love you, Tracy. So
that's very nice of you.
Well, we do. And it's not just me when I say we. Well, Jasper does as well, but...
Who is now sleeping. Yes. And has not come to say hello.
I know. It's unheard of.
Crawl all over my head.
Yes. Unheard of. Okay. So we're going to talk about archangels, or at least that's where we're going to start the combo.
Yes, we are. Yes. I'm actually very moved by these archangels right now. So
really?
I thought it would be very interesting to begin with that. I was going to speak about something else, and then I got a phone call earlier this morning, and I started to just go on my huge tangent about these lovely beings and went, that's exactly what I want to speak about today.
Nice.
So, yeah. So, all right. So let me introduce the subject by saying, first of all, preface this by saying I know next to nothing about these lovely beings called the archangels, but I am in love with them, and I'm having a love affair with them, and I am finding them just incredibly wonderful to work with. And when I say work with, I asked for Christmas from my sister-in-laws. I asked for a box of archangel cards, Doreen Virtue's archangel cards, and I asked for a box of Ascended Master cards. And there is a Doreen Virtue book that mixes the two. So it's Archangel and Ascended Master book, which I haven't even cracked yet. And it wasn't until a couple of weeks ago, maybe about 3 weeks ago, that I actually opened this deck of cards. And it really happened because somebody who was in my office said, oh, well, you can't just open the cards. You have to open the cards, and then there's a whole ritual that has to happen and yada, yada, yada. So you can't just open them and use them right now. And I was like, oh. Well, and then I was really busy, so I didn't really have time to address that. So anyway, about 3.5 weeks ago, I took the time to address that. And actually, it didn't turn out to be as difficult as this person made it out to be, this ritual. But I will tell you that this is the first time, and I have many decks of cards, not tarot cards. I've never learned to read tarot, but I have many decks of cards in my office that I just consider to be things that I will pull an inspirational card from every once in a while. But this was the first time that I'd ever followed the instructions in the little book to a T and actually did what they told me to do, which was own the cards. Mm. And so literally the instruction, and it was pretty simple, and it was in a 5-minute exercise. So it wasn't a half an hour exercise or an hour of my life. So it was about 5 minutes, and it was literally just touching every single card in the deck. And I'm kind of telling you this, everybody that might be listening, because maybe you'll run out and get yourself your favorite deck of cards. And I think that it might actually benefit you to do exactly that, to touch every single one of the cards and take ownership of this deck. In other words, ownership of the light and the beings that are connected to whatever deck of cards it is that you've chosen. And just make it your own, like make it, that is my relationship with this deck and with these beings that work through this deck. So that's what I did. So the next instruction after you touched every card, and so it was kind of interesting because I was seeing a bunch of names of archangels that I'd never heard of. Mm-hmm. I knew about the top kind of six, right? Yeah. The top six. and I knew a little bit about all of the top six, but there were a whole bunch of archangels in this card deck that I went, you're who? 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 What do you do? What's going on with, how do you pronounce that? So after I owned all of the cards in the deck, it then said, then fan out all the cards so that the faces are facing you, put them to your heart, and just do some sort of a prayer, like they did have one in the book that you could actually say. But they said basically you can make it up on your own, but it is just about fostering this relationship between you and the archangels. So that's what I did. And then the book guided you as to how to do a reading with three cards, a three-card read, just like all of them do, a three-card read, a five-card read, a one-card read. But the interesting thing is it didn't take very long for me just to kind of become one with these beings a little bit. And I'm sure it was them that kind of put these ideas into my head. But I was asking a question one night about health, about my health. And I got the idea in my head. I do use my body as a pendulum, and I do teach that in classes. When people just come to do a basic little muscle testing class, I call it the cheap and cheerful class. Doesn't cost a lot of money. We try to teach everybody in that class not only basic muscle testing, but how to use their body as a pendulum.
Right.
So that they can get a basic yes and a no from their body, and their body will tell them what they're allergic to, what they're intolerant to. So the body will show us that when we allow it. So I was just using my body as a pendulum, and I was asking the archangels, I thought, what an interesting thought. I was asking the archangels, how many cards, like rather than following the book and the instruction, how many cards would you like to give me your messages through? And I got one card. It was just like one, I'm going one, two, three, and my body stops at one. So one card it was, and I just flip the card up. I do the shuffling of the deck. I flip the card up, and I'm looking at the card, and of course, the way that most people would then work is you look at the card, you read the archangel that's shown up, you read the message, and then you go to the little book, and you read what the bigger message is connected to that card. But what came to me is, I'm not really interested in that. I'm not really interested in the cookie cutter message that is written in this book. And so I just picked up the card and I stared at the card. And I looked at, then I literally said to this archangel, whoever it was, hello, thank you for coming. Couldn't feel anything yet. Thank you for coming. You have a message for me. Please deliver me your message. In other words, we are free. How many times do I say this, and how many different, you know, people will get it maybe? We are free will beings. So please deliver me your message is like saying, I give you permission to speak to me. I give you permission to be one with me, to commune with me, to come into this space, to talk to me, to be my friend, whatever. And so it was just, you know, please deliver me your message. And I just stared at that card. And then I thought, I'm going to shut my eyes. And it didn't take very long before, I am clairaudient, so I do hear spirit in one ear. But this was different than that. It was almost like information just started to come into my head. Mm-hmm. Like I was talking to myself, for people that would say that, except it was smarter than me.
Oh, don't you hate that?
And it put thoughts together way better than I do. Mm-hmm. And it was teaching me things that I hadn't even thought of. So that's when I know I'm not talking to me, when I'm really just getting pieces that are beyond my capacity to conceive of rationally or in my conscious mind. And literally, I'm being delivered these messages. That was really quite amazing. And it's the first time that I've ever worked with a card or anything that is operating through a card in that way.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I've had medicine cards in my office for a very long time, and I've never spoken to the card and said to the raccoon or the mouse or whatever is showing up, you know, what message do you have for me? I've always just gone into the book directly, read what's on those two or three pages, and then picked out the one sentence or two sentences that were relevant to me that really felt like, oh, they just got me in the heart. So this was a very different experience. And the next question that I asked was a question around relationship. And what came up was I asked, how many cards would you like to speak to me through? In other words, how many beings would like to speak to me on this topic? And because that's really what you're asking.
Sure.
And I got three. So I did my cut of my cards, which in its own right is kind of interesting, because the same thing happened to me that day that happened to me in a psychic reading of not so long ago. It was almost like I went to cut the cards a certain way, and the cards wouldn't allow me to cut that way. Mm-hmm. It was almost like cards fell into my hand in the cut that I hadn't intended consciously to be part of that cut. Like something spiritually was in the mix with me. And I feel like maybe that is a direct result of owning these cards, of having that relationship with the beings working through these cards, like taking that 5 minutes or that 6 minutes to actually do that little exercise that I've never done before. So that was very interesting. And then when the cards showed up and the three archangels showed up, I kind of looked and I looked at the first card and I went, I really don't understand you. Like, it was just, I'm looking at the card. I remember the word was brilliance. And I didn't get it. Like, I'm reading the little line. I'm thinking, well, I could go into the book. I truly don't get it. I pick up the card. I'm a little frustrated. And I'm going, hello, whoever this was, Shamuel, or, okay, you're confusing me here. Why are you here? Like, this seems completely and absolutely irrelevant to the discussion at hand, to what it is that I've asked for. Like, I can't figure out why you are. And I'll tell you, was I blown away with the answer. Mm-hmm. Like, it really was. It just came in loud and clear, just as a knowing, like something just dropping information into my head and really speaking to me in my head, not through my ear, really explaining to me why that card had been chosen and why it was so relevant to what mm-hmm. I was talking about in relationship, but that I was not seeing the relationship between the flow of creative energy and the flow of sexual energy. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't seeing that when I was interfering with the flow of creative energy, that same block was interfering with the flow of sexual energy.
Interesting.
And did I not see that? Could I see that now? Could I see that it is one block? That it is one thing that needs to be looked at here? And I'll tell you, I was absolutely blown away. I was in communication with that archangel for about a half an hour before I ever looked to another card for help. And the tears were streaming down my eyes about 20 minutes into that session. I felt like I was having a therapy session with a flipping card. It was an amazing experience. The third card of that day, when I was asking about relationship, and obviously, clearly, flow of creative energy and flow of sexual energy, was Metatron. And I didn't know a lot about Metatron. I'd heard of him because he's in my Archangel essences. I have Archangel essences in my office, and he is one of the ones that is in the box. And I'm a little bit familiar with the kinds of things that he oversees as an angel, because they all have the kind of things that they oversee, none of which I really have memorized, with the exception of maybe Archangel Michael. And he came up, the card very clearly was chakra clearing, and that Metatron was the archangel that you look to for chakra clearing. Now, I thought, this might be really kind of neat to bring up in a radio program, because it's something that anybody can do. Now, first of all, I don't believe that you need to have the name Metatron, that you need to have a belief in archangels, although, according to Doreen Virtue, these cards and any of the books that I've read, the archangels operate non-denominationally, and they exist in whatever format they're talked about in all religions. So it's almost like they are religionless. And they are here, apparently, they are just above the earth, and they are here to literally guide us and to bring us, to help us to find harmony and peace within ourselves, and therefore harmony and peace on this earth. And so that is their objective, that is their job, that is their mission. And they are very closely aligned to humanity. Like, their job is to work with humans, and they are just above us in the invisible plane. So anyway, here's Metatron. He shows up. But you don't have to ask for Metatron. In other words, I'm not sitting here trying to convert anybody on this radio show or otherwise to working with angels. You could literally go directly to the divine. What I do believe is when you go directly to the divine, perhaps the divine connects with Metatron to say, okay, go forth and aid in this regard. Who knows? I don't see it. But really, I'm not saying that you have to have some belief in angels. I think I've always had a belief in angels. Okay, so now the interesting thing is, I'm sitting here staring at the card. I'm saying, clearly, chakra clearing is something that is supposed to be. So I'm asking for Metatron's help in this. And he says to me, it felt like a he, although he operates as a he, she, apparently both operating within Metatron. Felt he-like to me on that day. And he says, Tracy, you were told several days back of a dysfunction at the back of your second chakra. You have chosen to do nothing about this. There was no criticism. He just said, would you like this attended to now? And I'm like, well, yes, this would be good if safe and appropriate in my highest and best interest. Like, of course, thinking I can't trust this archangel.
Right.
I'll always preface all of this with, if it's safe and appropriate in my house, with the blessing of the divine, go forth. Of course, it occurs to me that the archangels already know that this has the blessing of the divine, I'm thinking, but I'm always good for covering your ass. Okay, so I say yes to that, and all of a sudden I feel all this wild stuff going on in my energy field, and it was very intense. And then he says, you have the same sort of dysfunction occurring at the back of your fifth chakra. Would you like me to attend to this? Now, what I know from teaching the psychology of disease class at the Institute of Holistic Nutrition is that the second chakra and the fifth chakra are very, very linked. They're both very deeply connected to our creativity and desire.
Yeah, sure.
So one lower desire and one the higher desire of soul, right? So that wasn't a stretch for me to think, okay, what blew out one is blown out the other. I didn't know what the time frame was, and I wasn't asking. I gave permission for that to be done. And I'll tell you, it was like having a chiropractic osteopathic correction in my back and my neck all at the same time. Like all of the stiffness that I'd had in my upper neck, like around that C3, C2, C4, gone. The lump that had been there, the inability for my neck to move from side to side, gone. Like it was astounding. And the feeling like I had something wrapping around my throat, like constricting my thyroid or my ability to swallow, gone. Like it was really quite intense. Now, of course, I have an apology to make to every single student at the Institute of Holistic Nutrition for the last, how many years have I been teaching there? I really thought that when I was teaching students, when we were lying everybody out on tables in the last class and we were reading chakras with a pendulum, which is kind of the last class, let's make everything a little relevant that you've just learned from the textbooks. Let's have some fun with this. Let's read what's going on with somebody. I really thought as we corrected something from the front or saw something in the front, that was duplicated in the back. And that is absolutely not true. So in order to do a proper chakra reading, you need to do the reading of the chakras from the front and the reading of the chakras from the back. And you may not show up any kind of a dysfunction or defect within the front of a chakra system, but you will find it in the back, which is exactly what happened to me. I had no idea that we had a whole system that operated like that. So it was an interesting kind of wake-up call for me. I also did not know that the back of the chakras represented will. So that is the will at each one of the chakra levels. So the second chakra, the will as far as partnership and sexuality, sexual nature, marriage, sharing, your will to share. Your will to share yourself, right? All of that second chakra. Fifth chakra, will around communication, expression of self, expression of your greatest level of creativity. So that was actually very interesting. So then Metatron guides me more. He basically is telling me what to ask for or telling me what to give permission for. And he's just scrolling along what seems to be a list of things. So he says, now would you like me to clear and cleanse all chakras, both front and back? And I'm like, well, yes, that would be good. And then he says, and would you like the ones that are outside of your physical body to be tended to and administered to at the same time? And I'm like, okay, this guy's good. Well, if safe and appropriate, in my highest and best interest, yes. And of course, my field is rocking. Like I'm sitting on that couch going, oh, get it. I'm dizzy. I'm feeling very strange, but a good strange, knowing that something is actually happening as I say, yes, that would be good. And then all's quiet, everything's still. And then he says, would you like me to tend to the minor chakras now? Okay. Yes, if safe and appropriate, meaning I am now spent. If safe and appropriate, in my highest and best interest, yes, please do so. Well, I know that there was probably more to tend to. I feel almost like I should go back and be with him again. Like there's more that this Metatron can do that is beyond what he talk to me about on that night, but that was all that was allowed, all that was being blessed in that moment by the divine. So I don't really know. I don't know if Metatron would oversee meridians, both inner and outer meridians, and the clearing of those, I wouldn't know. If there's other chakras that aren't considered minor chakras, I know that there is a chakra that's known in the Chinese world as the spleen chakra. It's actually I know nothing about it other than that. And I know there are other chakras that are that. And I don't know whether we address those at all in what would be called the major and minor chakras of the body. Anyway, there you go. That was an astounding moment. I have given that piece of information to more than a few people who don't have a deck of archangel cards to literally say, get quiet, ask for Metatron to come and be with you, and give him permission to do these things. And I literally scrolled out, if safe and appropriate, give him permission to do this. You know, repair any damage to any chakra, both front and back. Clear, cleanse, balance, and attune all of these chakras, front and back, all of the mechanism, inner and outer, beyond the physical realm, minor. And I'm just literally scrolling these through to clients, and the feedback that I'm getting as people are saying, you know what, my throat feels clearer, my neck feels like I don't have that same tension, I don't have the headache that I've had for months. You know, it's a really neat thing. So I'm thinking, if you don't have your archangel cards, then if you knew a little bit about what angel to ask for or why they might come to you, then that might be an interesting adventure. So yeah, it's been a really lovely love affair. I'm having a love affair with the archangels. I just think they're amazing. And I look forward to whatever this is that they're going to teach me and show me and and unravel. Yeah, it's been an interesting journey so far. So I got a deck of Ascended Master cards, and I haven't owned them yet. I haven't opened them yet, and I've been having too much fun with these Archangel cards. So I guess at some point in the near future, I will find my way to doing that, because I didn't have an affinity for one or the other. I wanted both. I wanted both. I wanted both in my office.
I have the Goddess. The Goddess.
Oh, cards. Do you have the Goddess cards? You know what? Yeah. I think I have the Goddess cards too.
Oh, really?
And you know what? I've never owned them. I just opened them up and started to work with them in the way that, you know, is the kind of the beginner way of working with them, which is just reading the book and reading the messages straight from the book. So I don't know where you've been with your Goddess cards. So sharing.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know if, I mean, I certainly owned my tarot cards, but I don't think I've ever, I mean, I do the same. I flip through them. Sometimes they resonate, sometimes they don't. I go, okay, well. And I don't really ask any other questions.
Yeah. So maybe you need to own your Goddess deck.
Yeah. And my Archangel. I have both.
Oh, do you? Yeah, you have your Archangel deck?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, have you owned it?
No. I didn't even know to
Well,
do
you
that.
Know what? I'm so, you know what? I am so happy that I am here today telling people that if you've got one of these darn decks, like if you don't do anything about the little books that they include, you need to own your deck. Like you need to make it yours. You need to say hello to all of these angels as they're presenting themselves on the cards and just, you know, say hello and put your energy on them. And it's made a huge difference. I think I have a Goddess deck too. And I'm sure probably it could be equally as powerful. And I'm sure that in that little book, had I chose to read it, that it probably told me to own that deck too. And I didn't.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back through my little book because I don't remember reading that anywhere. However.
And I think that's just solidifying the relationship between you and whatever the beings are that are coming forward for you. So, yeah, I think it's a really powerful message.
It is the same as a tarot. Because to me, like, people, you know, ask, well, which tarot should I get? And it's like, well, you know, it really doesn't matter. That what's important is
own it.
Well, not only owning it, but, you know, it doesn't even matter what book you get to go with it, because it's how you feel about the card, not what somebody else says is the meaning of the card, because it's your intuition. It's how you interpret the card, not don't have somebody tell you what it means. Feel it. Own it. So that's Interesting.
Yeah, so it's interesting, that word own, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting, that word own. So anyway, there you go. There's my one lovely thing that I wasn't even intending to talk about today, and we're starting the talk with it, because I just, it's been a really, really powerful experience. I really like it.
And so have you started using them with clients as well, or do you just use it for yourself?
You know what? It's interesting, because in the last time I did the reading, which was the one about relationships, which literally tagged creative flow to sexual flow and really just helping me to see that there was a block there, and that it was the same block affecting the flow of both of these energies, right? At the end of that, when I was saying thank you, then whichever angel it was that was speaking through my head at that time said, you know, we will do very well if you were to use us with your clients. Like, this would serve you well, and I think you'd enjoy it, and they would enjoy it. Like, that was literally the piece. They would enjoy this experience, and you would enjoy it too. We would work the same way for them. And I'm like, okay, interesting. Thanks for that. So, no, I haven't done it yet. But
you will.
Yeah, I'm sure it will evolve when it feels right. That tends to be kind of the way things flow. So when it actually feels right, and when I feel comfortable, and when I'm sitting with the right person as that client who I would feel comfortable doing that kind of experimental piece with, then, you know, it'll flow from that point. So, yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So the next piece we're going to tackle is...
Well, you know what? Now we're into a... So these are my two interests that have happened since Christmas, right? My freaking cards. So thank you to my two sister-in-law's twins, they are. And thank you for giving me the present that I asked you to give me. Because, that's just brilliant, even though it took me a while to get into them after Christmas. Okay, so now we're going into a totally different piece. It's more health related, and it's not an angel piece. It's a real kind of like, okay, we can see some of these things under the microscope, and I can be both things. I can at least make an attempt to be both things. Okay, so the thing that has interested me for a long time is genetics. I can remember third year university, I think, or second year, it must have been about third year university, my mother thought I was mad. I was taking a genetics course, which was a third year course in medicine. And I was taking it as an elective because I could, because I had the biology pieces, because I loved the biology. I had the biology pieces, so I had all the prerequisites to be able to take this third year medical sciences genetics course. And my mother looks at me and she says, "What are you doing? Like, what are you doing? You need the courses that are going to bring up your average." And I said, "But, this is a passion for me. I want to see what they have to say." Anyway, it was an interesting course, a little dry, but having said that, so here I am, fast forward, whatever this is, 20 years later or 25 years later, and I'm still interested in genetics. So what was fascinating, I was unaware of this whole new field of genetics until I read Bruce Lipton's book, right, Biology of Belief. So in very layman terms, he starts to introduce to us this concept of epigenetics. And so epigenetics is a whole field of genetics that has evolved and had to evolve because we've now evolved into the acceptance of quantum physics. Mm. Like, we are so immersed in this now that we can't pretend not to be. So what epigenetics basically understands now is this is the field that was given birth after our Human Genome Project, which was, if you ask the pharmaceutical industry, a mass failure for them. Because they expected, as they were hunting down all of the genes, the human genes, so that they could patent them, so they could make the drugs that would aid people and corner the market on all of that stuff, they were expecting that they would find about 150,000 genes. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of patents. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of control. That's a lot of everything. They didn't find that. We have a couple of hundred more genes than an earthworm.
Okay.
And it's not many genes. So this was very distressing. And so once they really got their head wrapped around the fact that we only have a couple of hundred more genes than an earthworm, and they're looking and going, well, what the heck's going on then? Like, we don't have these things to patent that we thought we were going to have to patent, and we have thrown massive millions upon billions of dollars into this research.
Right.
So it's kind of, okay, so what's happening? How is all of this happening? How we know that genetics plays a role here, but we only have this many genes to work with. What we started to realize through epigenetics is that one gene, just like quantum physics, one gene can be expressed in numerous different ways. Mm. One gene can be expressed in 35 different ways, 45 different ways, 56 different ways. Wow. So then epigenetics starts to ask the question, well, what controls the expression of the gene? What controls whether you're going to express that gene in what we would call a positive way or a life-affirming way or a more destructive way? What controls that? Back to Bruce Lipton. Environment. Mm. The environment, the inner environment and the outer environment are what the signals are that control how we are bringing up these genes and how they are being expressed. Well, I'll tell you, this was so exciting to me. Like, really, at the end, it starts to explain how people move out of environments that are toxic to them, and then they start to get better. It's not just about the immune system no longer having that, burden of whatever that is that they were dealing with. It could actually be that they've turned off some sort of expression of the genetic material in a negative way because the outer environment is not the same. So therefore, when they don't feel threatened, they don't have to turn this on. They don't have to show this marker up in this way. Their whole genetic makeup can behave differently. Meaning we can behave differently. We, all the way down to the genetic material within ourselves, can behave differently. Well, how flippin' amazing is that? So then I went, well, I want to know more. 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 I want to know more than Bruce Lipton tells me that's in this book.
Right.
And I want to know how that's relevant. Like, remember, I know that I get on these radio shows and, you know, I don't talk that way, but I have a nutrition background. I have a nutrition background.
This is true. In fact, you were a teacher.
Yeah. And so I kind of went, all right, well, how is all of this relevant to nutrition? How is this all relevant to our choices? Because our nutrition choices will affect our inner environment. We know that, right? You eat certain foods and you eat like crap, you are creating an acid environment in your system, not a proper pH of a little bit alkaline in your system. And does that acidity over a long period of time change the genetic marker? Does it change how the genes are operating? Is it significant enough that it literally says to that gene, no, this is not an environment that you can express yourself in type A way. You have to express yourself in type F way because this environment tells you that.
So your diet.
Fascinating. So then I say, all right, so diet can play a role. Diet can absolutely play a role in our inner environment. We know that. And if we change our inner environment to the point where it was really that toxic with carcinogens and chemicals and poor eating habits and way too much sugar, how long can we do all of that before we start to make changes in the genetic material so that we are literally showing up markers that don't necessarily have to show up? So that we are replicating things into our cellular structure that we don't necessarily have to replicate. Well, that became really flippin' interesting to me. So as soon as I started to put those two things together, this whole idea of epigenetics and environment, and then going, whoa, diet actually plays a role. Carcinogens play a role in our inner environment. As we ingest them in, as we breathe them in, they do play a role. And how much of that can we put in our system before that starts to change the genetic material? Now, you also have to remember that some people don't have the genetic material that literally would create some of the problems that we're talking about. Sure. They just don't have it. It's almost like, I would say, you know, the propensity for me to actually have some genetic matter that knows how to create cancer is pretty huge. It's pretty huge. I got cancer flying on both sides of my family background, right? So I could almost make up a business card that says, hi, my name's Tracy McBurney, and I have the potential to be the creator of cancer. the potential to be the creator of cancer. But I don't have to be the creator of cancer. I don't have to operate like that. But I may actually have the potential at DNA strand number 13, at this little section, there may be a potential for that. But that potential can show up 35 different ways. So if I take care of the environment, if I take care of the inner environment, right? It's kind of what the nutritionists learn in school, taking care of the inner environment. Then I have a heap load better chance of not ever asking that gene to show up based on the fact that I have created the environment that way. Now, it's not just the inner environment, it's the outer environment, right? So if you actually are making all the great choices, like you're drinking all the best water, you're really trying to control the carcinogens that are coming into your system, you're eating organic food as much as you possibly can, you've made choices for antibiotic and hormone-free meat as much as you can, you're doing all of those good things, but you are working 16 hours a day for a tyrant who literally doesn't give you but 2 seconds off and never gives you a lunch. So you're eating your lunch at your desk, you're constantly stressed, right? You're doing all sorts of really cool things for your inner environment when you can, but you've made this choice in your outer environment. You've chosen the tyrant and the dictator in your outer environment. How long does that take for that outer environment to start to infiltrate into the inner environment, to start to change the hormones and the neurotransmitters and the chemicals in the internal environment? And I don't care what you're eating and how good it is and what water you're choosing. You've still got all of these stressed chemicals and cortisols and all of this stuff operating within you. How long does that take before you actually create the environment, even with the better food choices, that is asking that genetic matter to show up in a marker state that is not healthy? Mm-hmm. So, of course, this is diet and lifestyle.
Right.
Right. This is diet and lifestyle. But now you're talking a language that I can understand. Like I'm going, whoa, now I'm interested. Now you're giving me a rather interesting reason why I have to do this thing that I really hate doing called exercise. Right? Seriously, I really don't like it. I don't like doing things that I'm not good at. And quite honestly, I have not found any exercise that I am good at, even moderately good at. So really, it's a very humbling experience.
Walking.
We have a dog. We have a lovely dog. We got a dog so we could walk. And now we have a dog that we love, and now we walk. We walk, but I don't think we walk enough, but okay. We walk, right? So anyway, this is very exciting. So then, of course, I look to the universe and I say, okay, tell me more. More. Bring me more. Bring me more. Bring me more. I'm so excited. I'm so excited with these ideas that are in my head. I'm so excited with my ability to, or what is coming, which is my interest in genetics, now coming to a place where I can really understand it, where I can really accept it. It's almost like epigenetics wasn't taught in university all those years ago because they didn't even know about it. Or right. If they did, it certainly wasn't in the textbooks and they weren't sharing it with us. So this is incredibly exciting. And now you can mix it with the nutrition piece, and now you can mix it with all these things and lifestyle changes that I really have issue with around physical exercise and stuff. And I go, wow, there's a reason. There's a reason to keep my DNA in check, to keep it literally choosing a better, more a kinder genetic code appearance. And so then what drops into my lap? So then I'm sitting listening to Wayne Dyer. And he has had an amazing experience with a woman by the name of Pam McDonald. She wrote a book called The Perfect Gene Diet. And he has been touting her praises for the last year. He was diagnosed with leukemia, over a year ago. And almost immediately upon getting that diagnosis, he, by coincidence and synchronicity, runs into her. And she literally, nurse practitioner, specializes in inflammation reduction diets, doing the kinds of things that are exactly the kinds of things that he would need to do that would make his journey through this a kinder journey. And that's exactly what Dr. Homer would say. That's exactly the kind of, I think, nutritional pieces that Dr. Homer, German New Medicine, would absolutely approve of when somebody's been given that diagnosis of leukemia. positive thought, because really you'll survive it, and reduction of inflammation. And so she was kind of the perfect person for him to meet to make that journey a way easier journey for him. So here she is. She right. I'm unclear. I don't know if she wrote the book before she met him or if she wrote the book after she met him. But the book is here now, and it's an amazing book. And she talks mostly about a gene in our makeup called an APOE gene. And she says, we have one of those genes that we get from our mother, and we have one of those genes that we get from our father. And it doesn't matter what you're doing and what poor choices you're making, you'll always have these genes, and they'll always express themselves in one way or another. Mm-hmm. And you can control how you express these genes with diet and lifestyle. But you're never going to change the APOE gene makeup that you have.
Okay.
So there's an APOE 2 and 3 and 4. And what she presents to us is the people that have an APOE gene 4, whether that's two 4s or one 4, are the people that have the greatest struggle. What we're finding is that when you have a 4 in your genetic makeup, then that can be a genetic opening of a doorway to things like Alzheimer's, schizophrenia, Asperger's, autism, Tourette's. So these neurological pieces that affect brain. She would be so good to be the person talking here, because I really, I know nothing. But she talks about that gene having a lot to do with how we deal with fat and how we deal with cholesterol. And she's got a real, to listen to her is just incredible. So anyway, so we've got this APOE gene. So she says some of us, when we get our genetic makeup done, we find out that we're a 2-2. We got a 2 from our mom, a 2 from our dad. We find out that we're a 2-3, or we find out that we're a 3-3, or we find out that we're a 2-4. Or a 3-4 or 4-4. Well, that's never going to change. But having that piece of information tells you a lot. It tells you a lot about the kinds of foods that you need to not eat so much of. It tells you a lot about the kinds of foods that you struggle to deal with well, especially with you're sitting with the APOE gene 4, right? Where you're just not capable of doing certain things. She talks in this book about more comprehensive testing if you get certain genetic markers showing up. She talks about advanced cholesterol testing, where you can get a whole series of tests done to see where the genetic markers are that will literally tell you whether you've got the genetic markers open for certain heart conditions, plaques, collecting on arterial walls. So all of this stuff is stuff that we can know about, but I think the interesting thing is her book is chock full of different lifestyle choices and dietary choices that can aid each and every category of person who has these expressions of these particular genes.
Right.
Right? And so I just thought that was amazing. Okay, so then I get I'm listening to her speak. I finally get her book, because they were all sold out on the day that she was doing the speaking engagement figures. So I get her book. And I have not read but a few sections of the book. What I've done is sat and taken copious amounts of notes in the one lecture that I sat with her. And I want to now get on YouTube and see what else I can find. So then fast forward again. So I'm like, so I want more. So because what I was also hearing from some colleagues that I was mentioning this to, is they've said they've gotten a hold of her book. She's recommended several laboratories in the States where you can send your saliva to get the testing done. And these things have been stopped at the border. The boxes have been opened at the border. They've been stopped at the border. Now, maybe it's not saliva. Maybe in her instance, it's blood. I know that the one place that I know does saliva testing. But anyway, again, I say, I know nothing. But what I do know from these colleagues is that that's what their complaint was. They sent whatever these testings were that needed to be done at a certain expense, whatever that was, like the $300 expense or the $400 expense, and they never made it to the laboratories in the States. So, of course, then my next question to the universe was, okay, then bring to me the people who would be doing these kinds of important genetic testings for these markers that would be in Canada, so we wouldn't have to cross borders. So if that exists here, please bring that to me. I want company with integrity. I want to know who they would be. So, of course, I don't know if there's other answers coming, but isn't this interesting that my girlfriend calls me to tell me about this company, and I'm going, and when she tells me what it does, I go, holy crap, let me tell you about a little prayer that I put out to the universe the other day. It's a company called Newtopia. And although they've been in the States, they've been in Australia, they are in Australia, they are in, I think, Britain, it's new to Canada. And so it's this concept of aiding people, and again, I'm quite unclear about it at this particular point. I've just gotten this introduced to me, but they are doing genetic testing in Canada. Mm. What is and they are testing for four different genes that that have four different problematic effects when the markers are found for people. I know that one of gene tests that they're doing has something to do with dopamine. And dopamine is a pretty important neurotransmitter for us as far as us being able to be happy and not depressed. Right. And so one of those genetic marker testings is very relevant to dopamine. I did ask my girlfriend when she delivers this piece of information about this company that is not only doing genetic testing but doing a whole series of life coaching, nutritional pieces. They have supplementation that actually helps people to get these genetic markers gone. So in other words, they don't have supplementation that me, the nutritionist, would want for everyday use. They have very specific supplements that are designed to literally change those genetic markers and get those genes to not be expressing themselves in those ways. They do not test at this particular point for this APOE gene that the whole book was written about, right, called The Perfect Gene Diet. But having said that, speaking to my girlfriend, who's one of the higher-ups at this company, she said to me, the owner of the company is looking seriously at bringing this in as part of the testing module for this company in future. He's just looking at the most current research before he does so, and he's actually looking at several other genetic pieces. So exciting, 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 like holy smoke. So not only that supplementation is starting to be derived, because remember, you got to, if let's say you can't really change the outer environment right now, or you don't have the strength to change the outer environment right now, or you're so flippin' depressed that you can't even see straight to change the outer environment. So literally doing some sort of genetic testing that tells you perhaps that you've got this marker for this dopamine problem, you start to take this supplementation. 3 or 4 or 5 months later, you start to feel like $1 million. And then you might now not be in the depressed state to be able to say, you know what, I can do this. I can take care of myself. I'm leaving you. Mm. I'm leaving you, husband that's this abusive husband. Or I'm leaving this home that is such a toxic home filled with mold. In other words, I'm not in such a depressed state that I can't see straight on this issue. Does that kind of make sense to you? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So anyway, it's just exciting. It's really exciting. And then to really just hear that there's a lot of work being done on the food choices and the diet choices. So it's going to be a whole different realm. It's like eat right for your blood type. It's kind of like eat right for your gene type. No, I'm serious.
Which isn't
like
as easy
eat
to
right
find,
for
but
your
yes.
gene type.
Right.
And this woman, only this Pam McDonald, she only scratches the surface because mostly what she's talking about is the APOE gene. And I think it's really important because every cell of our body is surrounded by fat. Like the phospholipid layer is every cell of the body, and it's the entire myelin sheath of our nervous system. So it's really important that we be able to assimilate fat well, digest it well, take it in well, excrete it properly when we need to burn it. Like all of that stuff's really important. But really, we also need to get kind of beyond that to really understand what else is it that we could eat right for our gene type. So anyway, fascinating.
Wow.
Can you tell how fascinating
you
this is?
You are very excited about this.
I am. I'm really excited because it really brings together worlds that I have been very interested in for a very long time. So,
and do you not feel that you could intuit that information for people?
I think you could intuit it, but you know what? Sometimes people, seeing is believing.
Yeah.
You know, and really in this company, like really, I will preface this by saying, what is the date today? February the 22nd. Second, okay.
Third.
February the 23rd, 2011. This is the first company in Canada that I have been introduced to that does genetic testing in Canada for these sorts of genetic markers that are relevant to lifestyle changes and do respond to lifestyle changes and nutritional changes. So, and actually has supplementation to be able to deal with
the nutrition
these aspect. Issues, right? So this is it. So I'm pretty excited about this. But having said that, I'm also saying, universe, is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Is there any other laboratory that is doing this kind of work? Because to me, it's almost like, yes, I want this work. Yes, I want to know. But don't give me a piece of paper that tells me this without some solutions, right? Like, what I like about this company right now is they're giving you a piece of paper that's telling you for $179. So for $179, which actually isn't bad. Like, it's a shame that they're not doing the APOE gene yet, because really to do that down in the States, it's a $300 or $400 event, right? So $179 is not a big cash outlay. And that includes what they're calling, I think, two orientation sessions into their company because of all the different things that they would offer should you wish to kind of navigate your way to some of their exercise pieces, which I may actually choose to do. maybe. Then they have the nutrition help for you should you wish it. They have the modules of help with physical exercise should you wish it. They have the psychological pieces should you wish it, right? In other words, right. The company is kind of giving you these other options other than saying, here, you know, this is what your genetic panel showed up, and we have the supplement. We have the supplement package because it's not just one pill. We have the supplement package made up of whatever that is, the vitamins, the amino acids, the herbs, the special formulations in this little plastic packet that are for you, that have been designed to literally take that genetic marker and dissolve it. And take that DNA stranding and take your physiology to the point that it changes the environment so it's no longer showing up. So to me, it's not just about handing me a piece of paper saying, well, this is what we found. Congratulations, mm-hmm. This is what we found. It's like, okay, and now what do I do? Like, now what do I do with that piece of information? It's like somebody literally handing you a diagnosis of you've got cancer and then going, well, see you later. Yeah. I did my bit. And it's like, hello. Hello, what do I do with that? What do I do with that? Or the person that brings up that past life. The person that brings up the past life and doesn't resolve it.
Well, yeah.
They bring up the past life and they leave it hanging in the air. Hello. What are you doing? So the answer is I don't know. Right. I don't know if there's another company out there in Canada that you don't have to cross borders to get this kind of testing done. It is kind of interesting, too, that this woman, because she is from the States, right? She does talk about the fact that she feels that it's not in anybody's best interest to get any insurance company, although it is paid for through a lot of insurance companies, that it's not considered, she doesn't consider it in anybody's best interest to let insurance companies have that information. Because it's very easy for that information to be misconstrued. So she basically says, pay for that yourself, get the information back yourself, and do with that what you want, but don't share it with your insurance company. Right? Don't give that to them.
Because that's just happening.
Yeah, that's just like a it's like a loaded gun.
Yeah.
And you never know how they're gonna take that. Mm-hmm. So although we don't have that same issue here, potentially with the kind of way that we deal with our medical system, you know, apparently it's, you know, not so easy for us to go cross border to get these kind of tests done, and that I don't understand. Like, I don't understand that piece. Mm-hmm. I've never heard that it was any issue to get hair analysis done. Like, one of the best places to get a hair analysis done is in Texas. I've never heard of that being an issue. So I was a little surprised to find out. But I wasn't just one person that told me that they'd followed the directions from this book and really were curious about it, wanted to pay the $300 or $400 and had their samples either not sent back, but literally destroyed or opened or interfered with by the time they got there, or they didn't get there at all. So I really don't know whether that's a Canadian piece or a U.S. piece. I really don't know. You never know anymore at the borders what's going on and who's doing what, reasons, or what objectives. So anyway, so I think that it's probably a good idea to kind of look and say, okay, who's doing this in Canada? So right now that's the company, Newtopia, and it is available on the internet to look at, newtopia.com, like new, N-E-W, topia, T-O-P-I-A, .com. But I just got on the website myself wishing that to come here, I'd be able to give you over the airwaves what are the four genetic tests that they're doing, and they haven't documented that on the website. They do, when you click on, they do tell you about the genetic testing that they're doing, and I do know from my girlfriend's experience that one of them has to do with dopamine markers, things that are controlling the release of dopamine, the gene that controls the release of it or the working of it. But what's interesting, just to say to you what her result has been, she didn't expect to see any real magnanimous, she started to take the supplementation that they had recommended. She wasn't expecting to see anything in big results. She's actually quite a thin person. She's not what I would call a big person. She's a slight person. But what she did share with me was rather interesting. How did she put this? She said, I know your deal is sugar, Tracy, but she said, me, I can just wave hello at sugar. You know, like, hi, see you later. Like, no issue with sugar, never had an issue with sugar, right? Doesn't have any kind of desire or link or attachment. But she said salt. Mm. She said for her, her demon would be salt, and it's late night salt. So she's, you know, crunching on something late night salt. Now, if, you know, and I could talk to her, I could go into Doreen Virtue's book, I could go, okay, let's look at crunchy foods, let's look at salty snacks, let's look at the things that are deficient emotionally in your world. When you're crunching on things, you're angry. Like, who are you angry and frustrated at, including yourself? And salty foods, you know, Doreen does all of that stuff in that Constant Cravings book, which I did speak to the people at Hay House. They said they are releasing an ebook form. So I'm really happy about that, because Doreen Virtue has this incredible section at the back which talks about all the demon foods. Mm-hmm. So you can find out emotionally why you're craving Kit Kat, M&M's, certain kinds of ice cream. Yeah, it's very cool. So anyway, apparently it's coming out in ebook. So I'm saying that over the airwaves so that if anybody's listening from there, they'll know that that's out there somewhere. Yeah, I got that from the head guy, Tracy Reed, said, yes, it's coming out in ebook. Anyway, so all of that aside, yes, that would be all the discussions that I would have with her if she were in my office. I would break that apart and use that book as one of the guiding tools. But what she said was rather interesting. She said, within about 2 weeks of taking that little package of supplementation designed to change the genetic marker for this dopamine issue, she said her salt cravings went away, just gone. And then she said the most amazing thing. She said, my belly flattened. She said, my lower paunch flattened. And she couldn't figure out why. She was telling me this at lunch. She said, do you have any idea with your background why that would happen? Because they are talking to me about dopamine. And I said, well, that area of your body, that lower paunch area, is very connected to adrenals. Hmm. So when I see the upper fat, like the ring of fat just under the breasts as they hang down, that's thyroid fat to me. But when you see that lower fat, then that's belly fat, that's adrenals. And so I said, it's kind of interesting because salt is very linked to adrenals. When we crave salt, it's kind of like the adrenals saying, hello, I'm gagging, I'm suffering, I'm not happy, I'm imbalanced, I'm needing this. And so I just thought it was very interesting that something about the supplementation that she was taking was not only changing the genetic marker for her with regard to dopamine, but it was somehow making the adrenals healthier and shutting off this body's desire, body's desiring for homeostasis, the desire for that salt, and that belly fat leaving. So I thought, and you know, that wasn't something that was written about by the company. The company didn't say you take this and this is what's going to happen. I mean, I think it was just a very interesting thing for her to have learned and for her to have saw. For her to have seen. Mm-hmm. My mother would just hate the fact that I made that grammatical error. For her to have seen. Sorry, Mom. You won't listen to it anyway. So anyway, yeah. So isn't that kind of neat?
That is neat.
Yeah. So anyway, this is. I think this is an interesting company. I think it's a company to watch for. I think $179 is what I'm being told is the customer price for getting that genetic testing done, even if you don't want to do, and I think you get, and I'm pretty sure about this, for that $179, you get your first package of supplementation if you need it. So if you don't need anything for a genetic marker that shows up, then they have a package for just a supplementation that, that is a kind of a good multivitamin whole kind of regime. And so you would get that for free for a month as part of that $179. So, yeah, really, I don't know much about it other than that. And you can, yeah, tell them I sent you and see how that works out. But really, I'm beginning to think that this is kind of a little bit about what's going to go on in the future. We might even see this as part of the testing that's done in our own physical. Right. Like, who knows, like 25 years from now or 20 years from now or 15 years from now or 10 years from now, we might actually see this. We might actually see it as part of our actual physical coming back, really giving our doctors this kind of information.
So preventative instead of
you know
Band-Aid.
What? Yeah, it was funny because all those years ago, I said to a woman who was extensively a stranger, I mean, I was sitting with her and a girlfriend who was not a stranger for coffee, and the girlfriend went to get us coffee, and she was asking me questions about what I was doing and what the change of life was. And I was at that time thinking I was going to the naturopathic college, and I'd gone to do the biochemistry upgrade and the chemistry upgrade at U of T, and I was really thinking I'm on my way to that. And then I got in my head, wrongly so, I have to admit, but I got on the right path, but by the wrong assumption. I assumed from my one time going into the student clinic, meeting the person in the white coat with the stethoscope, that was what I met. When I went to the clinic, the naturopathic clinic at that time, now that would have been like 15 years ago, I was met by the naturopathic student and clinician practitioner, white coats, stethoscopes, doctors. And I was like, you know what? This isn't me. This isn't me. I don't want to be the person in the white coat with the stethoscope at the end of somebody's journey, like with all the cancers and all of the stuff and all of the diseases and all of that stuff at the end of the line, trying to figure that out and sort that out for somebody. And that's what I said to her. I said, I want to be about prevention. I want to be about preventative. And I heard myself say this. I also heard my thinking that I was thinking that naturopaths were not that. Mm-hmm. That they were slotted in my mind as the white coats with the stethoscopes at the end of somebody's journey when they'd made a whole bunch of really wrong decisions and now they're sitting here suffering with a bunch of stuff that was just complicated to try and figure out. That was my assumption, and that was a wrong assumption. Given I work with a naturopath now, and I've never seen her in a white coat, and I've never seen her with a stethoscope, and she's the coolest woman, and she is really what a doctor should be, and she's just is an amazing, amazing spirit. And, you know, so that was wrong assumption by me, but I think putting me on the path that was supposed to be the path for me, because I literally did not apply to the naturopathic college. I went instead to the Canadian School of Natural Nutrition and got a nutrition designation, because to me that was preventative. That was really going to the key of food and all of that stuff. And from there, everything that opened up in my world was energy. Like everything that I became interested in beyond food was energetic pieces. And then just really looking, like 15 years later, looking and going, wow, look what I'm doing in my office. Like when I'm really helping somebody to own, here's that word again, like we're coming full circle and the hour must be finishing, right?
Oh yeah, a while ago, but yes.
Okay, so you're going to cut me off then?
No, not at all.
So to own, like working with clients to own their field, to own themselves, to own the expansiveness of themselves, to not just see themselves from a subconscious level as the physical body, but to recognize that even though they can't see it, that they go beyond it. They go beyond the matter, and that it's not just the matter that makes them them. And so it's literally to talk to the subconscious mind and to say to that subconscious mind, override your need, which was my need, to see before you will believe, before you will download, before you will record this as truth. override it and record what I'm telling you now. Record, subconscious mind, that I have an aura and that there is no need for me to see it to accept that I have it. That I may never see my own aura in the mirror reflected back at me, but I accept and I want you to accept that it exists. And that within that aura, I have a field that is a soul body and a spirit body and a divine body. That I have a divine body within myself. And it's at the very edge of my energy field that I can't see. And from this day forward, subconscious mind, you will override the need to see before you record this information. Record it now. And know it as my truth. That I am energy and I am matter. I am both as I stand here. Thank you, subconscious mind. End of transmission. And to me, oh, I guess I did that slowly enough that you could follow that. Good. I'm glad. To me, that is preventative. If I can accept that I am bigger than this, that I go out 8 to 12 to 15 feet in all directions, and that I have a divine field within me, an I am presence that is pure truth, that has knowledge of all of that, that is not corrupted. If I can accept all of that without seeing it, without needing to see it, then stuff that's going on in that field that is me, I can now own as me. I can now say, there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with me. I can accept there's something not balanced within me, and I don't have to wait until it's cancer sitting here in my field, in my breast or somewhere else, when really it was saying that to me all the way out here, but I wasn't listening or paying attention. Because I was refusing to recognize that anything out here that I could not see was me. So to me, I just went, that is preventative.
Right.
That is truly preventative. Not preventative nutrition, but preventative mind talk, like preventative mental wiring or rewiring. So anyway.
Nice.
I guess you want me to shut up now.
We never want you to shut up, but we have gone over a wee bit.
A wee bit.
Yeah, you know, a few minutes. Well, Tracy, as always, yay. Okay, you've given us a lot to think about, and, you know, for all of you who don't quite have your Archangel cards or any of those cards, you now know what to do to own them.
And maybe I'll see some of you or know some of you at Newtopia. I don't know how that works out, but maybe that will work.
Maybe. All right. Thank you.